Chapter 3. "Darcy," Jamie said, picking at her dinner, "how do you know if a person is, you know, being honest?"
"You kind of don't know for a long time, I guess. And then maybe," Darcy said.
"You think Dad's gonna hurt us again, don't you?" Jamie interrupted, looking right at Darcy.
"I really don't know, Jamie, but be real, he did run out on us."
"I know he left us," Jamie said, her eyes suddenly narrowing. "But I feel good when I'm with him. He says I'm pretty and special and stuff. Mom's always nagging at me, and I know she loves me and all that, but it's like she's always reminding me of everything I do wrong. It's like Dad thinks I'm perfect, you know?"
Darcy was sitting on the sofa reading when her mother came home near midnight.
"You still up, sweetie? Tomorrow's a school day, you know."
"I took a nap, Mom. Boy, do you look tired."
"I'm exhausted," Mom said, collapsing into her recliner. "Baby, it was pure hell in the ER tonight. Man came in with full cardiac arrest and we couldn't get a hold of his regular doctor. And this other doctor did the wrong procedure and now we're all in hot water. This doctor comes in yelling and cussing and saying somebody's gonna get fired. Then we get a little girl with a real bad asthma attack and a boy with a knife in his back. And in the middle of all that, this same doctor is losing it. I'm telling you, I had to talk tough to that doctor. He looked like he was gonna have a heart attack right there in the ER. He was thinking to himself, who is this nurse talking to me like this? Who does she think she is speaking to a doctor this way? It took him a while, but he finally calmed down. Must have been the first time a nurse ever addressed him like that."
"Oh, Mom, I wish you didn't have such a hard job," Darcy said.
"Well, your father is helping me with money now. He's doing real well at that men's clothing store. You know how charming he can be when he wants to be. He's selling $500 suits like ice cream in July."
"So maybe you could quit working so hard?" Darcy suggested.
"Oh no, sweetie. I won't ever quit my job. With all the downsizing going on, maybe there won't be any choice. Maybe one day something like tonight will happen and they'll write me up and fire me. But as long as I can keep that job, I will. I can't depend on your father. I can't put our lives in the hands of a man who walked out once before."
"You don't think he's changed, Mom?" Darcy asked.
"Oh, my Lord, I don't know," Mom sighed. "Maybe he has, maybe he hasn't. I just don't trust him. Maybe I ought to, but I just don't. If he ran off once, what's to stop him from doing it again?"
Mom got up slowly from her recliner, rubbing the small of her back with her hand.
"Trust, honey. Such an itty-bitty word. 5 little letters strung together. I trusted my daddy. My mama, she trusted daddy. If he were here today, he'd be standing by your grandma. Now that was a man who was a straight arrow. Trust. Oh, baby, there's a world of pain when it's gone."
Darcy ran into Tara on her way to school the next day. Tara was entering some sketches in the art section of the talent show.
"Tara, I can't believe I ever agreed to audition for the talent show. I'm scared just thinking about it," Darcy said.
"Girl, you got guts," Tara laughed. "Not that you ain't got a nice little voice, but standing up there in front of everybody gave me the hives."
"It gives me the hives too, but Hakeem needed a push to audition. He's so good, Tara. You know that. Maybe if he wins, he'll feel good about himself."
"Darcy, I can hate myself and love myself different times every day. I look in the mirror and I say, hey, is that the biggest, roundest chocolate pie I ever saw? Or is that my fat face? Then I get to laughing over something my little brother did, and I catch my smile in the looking glass and I'm saying, whoa, girl, you got a smile that's gonna light up the world. At least your little part of it. And then I'm fine."
Darcy laughed. "I tried to sing last night, and it sounded like a squeaking door," she said.
Chuckling, Tara said,
"I told you, girl, just play the music real loud and you'll be fine."
On Saturday, Darcy went to the track meet with Tara and Cooper. On the ride over, all Darcy could think about was Brisana. Would she show up too? That would spoil everything.
"I can just see her dancing around Hakeem," Darcy grumbled, "just rubbing it in my face."
"Just be cool, girl," Tara said. "If Hakeem falls for that game, he's a loser, and you ought to blow him off.
Man, how come he rates? Cooper said enviously. That boy's got two girls fighting over him. I sure wouldn't mind two honeys fighting over me, I tell you that.
Don't even go there, Cooper, Tara warned. After I got through with her, I'd come after you.
Friends and supporters of both track teams filled the bleachers under a brilliant sun. Darcy and her friends headed for the Bluford High cheering section. Hakeem spotted Darcy and introduced her to his parents.
Nice to meet you, Darcy, Hakeem's father said with a warm smile.
He was wearing a baseball cap to cover the hair loss from the chemotherapy, but he looked good. As the track meet got underway, Hakeem's father told Darcy,
I used to compete in field events in high school. I wasn't as good as my boy, though. He's a born athlete.
Darcy began to relax. It looked as if Brasana was not coming, and that was a big relief. Darcy was eager to hang out with Hakeem alone after the meet. The boys were at the starting blocks for the 400-meter dash. Darcy kept her eyes fixed on Hakeem as he sprang into motion. It soon became a duel between Hakeem and a lanky boy from Lincoln High School. He was taller than Hakeem and had the raw power Darcy had seen in famous sprinters on TV.
Come on, boy, you can do it, Mr.
Randall was shouting, his face animated with excitement. Darcy could see that it was so important for Hakeem to win this race for his dad. As the runners turned the final corner and headed for the straightaway, Hakeem had a narrow lead. Mr. Randall was on his feet, clapping and cheering, but the boy from Lincoln started edging ahead. He passed Hakeem and flew across the finish line. Mr. Randall looked sad for a moment. Then he smiled and said,
Hey, it was a great race, and he almost won, didn't he?
Darcy watched Hakeem give his father the second-place trophy. Both parents hugged the smiling Hakeem, but there was something in his eyes that seemed to contradict his smile. As Darcy and Hakeem rode out of the parking lot on his motorbike, Hakeem said,
I just don't like sports. I just do it for my dad. He's always been after me to get into sports. Track, football, basketball. I've got three sisters, and I'm the only hope for him to have an athlete's son. All his hopes for reliving his glory days in sports rest on me.
Darcy had rarely heard Hakeem stutter when he was not in front of a crowd. Now, when they were alone together, just thinking about his father's expectations was making him stutter. You look great out there, she said, tightening her arms around his waist.
I always hated competition, he admitted. I shoot baskets with the guys, but I stayed away from joining the school team or anything. Then Dad got sick. You know, I felt guilty, like I cheated him out of all those years he wanted to watch me play. I got scared. What if he didn't get well? Then he'd never get to see me do sports. So I got into this track thing. Well, second is okay, I guess. Sure beats nothing, huh?
There was a rich vein of sadness in Hakeem's voice. They stopped at Nico's, a small pizza place that looked shabby but had the best pizza in town. After ordering pepperoni pizza and sodas, they sat down.
So how's it going with you, Darcy? Hakeem asked.
He seemed eager to change the subject from his own problems.
Are you getting to know your dad since he came back?
Not really. My sister Jamie is with him today. They got a big day planned. She acts like he never left. She's been so lonely for Dad. But I haven't seen him much. We talked on the phone, but I feel weird with him. I mean, when he helped us find Jamie when she ran away and got lost, I was really grateful, but...
Darcy shook her head sadly.
You should try to make up, Darcy. Just get together over hamburgers or something. Don't let it go. Like with my dad, he's a great guy, but we had a lot of big fights. He thinks my music is stupid, and I hated how he tried to push me into sports. We both said lousy things to each other. I told him I hated him. And then when he got cancer, it hit me like a ton of bricks. My dad had something bad, and maybe he wouldn't always be around, and we were wasting time fighting over something stupid.
Darcy took another slice of pizza.
Yeah, but Hakeem, your dad was there for you. Big fights or not, my dad just left. No goodbye, no cards, no nothing.
He can't expect to waltz back in and have everybody falling over themselves for him.
I know, Darcy, and I'm not saying you're wrong. All I'm saying is maybe you could give your dad a second chance. From where I'm sitting, it looks like he's trying awful hard.
You got a point, Darcy conceded. I'll think about it. Hakeem pulled his motorbike to a stop in front of Darcy's house. For several seconds, he hugged her, and Darcy gave him a soft kiss on the lips.
Thanks for everything, she said. Hakeem smiled. I'll call you, he said, starting the engine of his motorbike.
Then he drove away slowly, the drone of the bike's engine fading into the distance.
Did you have a good time, sweetie? Mom asked.
Yeah, Darcy said.
Good. You didn't forget tomorrow, did you?
What's tomorrow? Darcy asked, concerned.
We have to go to dinner with Aunt Charlotte. Miss Harris will be staying with Mama.
Oh, Mom, Darcy whined, plopping down on the sofa.
Don't you owe Mom me. She's my only sister. And I know she can be a pain, but she's still family, Mom scolded.
Is Jamie going?
Of course, and I've given her strict orders to dress nicely and behave like a lady. Last time we were over there, I about died of shame because of the way that child acted. But I had a talk with Jamie. If she wants to go anywhere this week with your father or her friends, she'll treat Aunt Charlotte politely.
Is Jamie still out with Dad? Darcy asked.
Yeah, they're making a day of it.
Darcy went to Grandma's room and helped her to the bathroom. Then she fed Grandma some rice pudding. The elderly woman was very listless, and the whole meal was a struggle. She kept asking the same questions over and over, and when Darcy answered her, she asked the questions still again. Was Grandma getting worse? Had the final decline begun? Or would she brighten again and be sort of normal and call Darcy Angel Cake again?
I love you, Grandma, Darcy said anxiously.
Is it still raining?
Grandma asked.
No, it isn't raining anymore, Darcy answered.
Is it still raining?
Grandma asked again in a flat, weak voice.
It'll stop soon, Darcy said, her eyes brimming with tears.
She knew that someday, maybe soon, Grandma would leave them, but Darcy could not stand thinking about that day. She kept hoping for a little more time, a few more twinkling smiles from Grandma, another chance to hear her talk about being a child picking blackberries in the summer. All the way to Aunt Charlotte's townhouse, Jamie spoke about her dinner with Dad.
It was a really cool restaurant. The waiters were guys, and they were always asking us if we wanted more bread or something. I felt like a rich kid, Jamie beamed. But as they neared Aunt Charlotte's townhouse, Jamie's mood darkened.
Hello, Maddie, girls, Aunt Charlotte chirped when she met them at the door.
Aunt Charlotte was Mom's sister, but she could have been her daughter. Aunt Charlotte had perfect, smooth skin like a girl. She brought expensive makeup, and her cocoa butter complexion was dramatically highlighted by a rich blush on her cheeks.
I'm so glad to see you. I have something really important to talk to you about, Aunt Charlotte said, looking right at Darcy. It concerns all of us as a family, but it particularly concerns you, Darcy.
Darcy felt like a butterfly stuck by a pin to a display. She did not want to be the topic of Aunt Charlotte's discussion. It was true that her aunt was one of the most beautiful women Darcy had ever seen. It was also true that she bought the nicest furniture for her townhouse and that she decorated the walls with expensive, fancy paintings. But despite everything, Darcy did not admire Aunt Charlotte, and she did not want to be like her. Even though they had arrived only minutes earlier, Darcy wished the dinner was already over. Darcy would have rather been home in their small apartment, with the spots on the wall where it had leaked during last winter's rains, where there was a cracked tile right in the middle of the kitchen floor, where the only art was the paint-by-numbers pictures that Grandma did years ago. Darcy reluctantly sat down at Aunt Charlotte's fancy table, dreading the conversation to come.